the last like 2 months I've been speaking about the Book of Romans, saying what the gospel is, the milk of the gospel, which is how you get your sins forgiven, and then the meat of the gospel, which is that when you believe Christ died for your sins, by your faith, you get the gift of righteousness. And the meat of the gospel is basically how when you get the gift of righteousness, it stays sealed and you can't spoil it, and you stay righteous irrespective of what you do. regarding the established church, the meat of the gospel is not preached. What's preached is when you believe Christ died for your sins, you get your sins forgiven, and you get something called a positional righteousness, which is you're righteous. If you get hit by a bus, that's the bank account that counts. But apart from that, when you walk around, God thinks of you. He thinks you're positionally righteous, but you can be quite far from him based on what you do, which is a way of saying you're not actually properly righteous before him. The stuff that comes between you and him that you need to get out the way. If you're to get nearer to him. It's hard for me to stand here explaining the logic behind that doctrine, because it's not logical. It's not true. According to the word of God, when you believe Christ died for your sins, you get baptized into Christ. You get your spirit gets made in union with Christ. A spiritual union gets set up between your spirit and Christ. That union is a marriage union where Christ is the head, and the church, which you're an individual member of, if you believe Christ died for your sins. The church is the body part, which means that the church, according to Paul in Ephesians, is subject to the head, which means that God made your spirit subject to Christ when you were born again, which means your spirit is submit to Christ by the way that God made you born again. You died with Christ, got raised with Christ. God did it in such a way that your spirit submits to God. And your spirit submits to Christ. Christ is seated at the right hand of God. He submits to God. God made your spirit submit to Christ. Christ submits to God. God made your spirit submit to him. So that's what God did regarding you, the person. When you believe Christ died for your sins, Christ got your sin. You got Christ's righteousness, and you died with Christ. God declared on your account when you died. Yeah, Hebrews says it's appointed man wants to die, wants to face the judgment. You died, God judged you with Christ's bank account on your account. He declared you righteous, you were raised from the dead. You've got the righteousness of God. But then one extra thing happens that Paul talked about in Romans. Paul said in Romans 8 that there was three things that God did to sort out your righteousness, to make your righteousness watertight. And that was, Paul said, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. So that righteousness of the law is a singular a righteousness that was done to you. So basically you were made righteous because God did three things. God sent his son onto the cross for sin. Christ lived his life in the likeness of sinful flesh, and when Christ died, Christ condemned sin in the flesh. So Christ paid for your sin on the cross. He also lived a completely righteous life. So when he died, that was put on your account. So on the cross, Christ died for your sin. Christ's righteousness, his full keeping of the law, was accredited to your account. But the final thing that God did to sort your righteousness out is that the sin in your flesh was condemned. God killed the sin in your flesh. And that's why Paul says in Romans 6. Paul says in Romans 6, he says, knowing this, that old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So your body of sin is destroyed. I understand the argument that your body of sin is still there. But Paul's point is,
your body of sin. You died to your sinful flesh.
Your spirit died with Christ. Your body, soul, and spirit when you were born. Your spirit died with Christ and was raised with Christ, but your flesh wasn't. So that means your spirit died, but your flesh didn't. So your spirit died to your flesh. So your spirit, your inside part, died to the rest of you, which means that from your spirit's point of view, the rest of you was cut off. And that is what Paul calls a spiritual circumcision. You've had your sinful flesh like cut off through your death and resurrection with Christ. Your spirit died, but your flesh didn't. So your spirit died to your flesh. And in effect, your flesh died to your spirit. That's how Paul says your body of sin was destroyed, because to your spirit, your sinful flesh died. It was your spirit that died. So your spirit died to your flesh. But from your spirit's point of view, your flesh died to it. So your body of sinful flesh died to your spirit. And Paul says, because of that, Paul says, effectively, you've put off your sinful flesh, and therefore, like whatever you do in your sinful flesh, any sin that pops out, any evil that pops out, it's not accredited to your account as sin. It's just not accredited to your account, and that's the way that God sees it. The eye that stands before God that is you is the eye that has died to your sinful flesh, and God does not accredit any sin in your sinful flesh to your account. Thereby, the righteousness that you originally got, as soon as you got your righteousness, your flesh was cut off. Any sin after that point, any evil acts are done in your flesh, don't get accredited to your account. So you get righteous, and then you get your flesh put off, and your sinful flesh can then not spoil your righteousness, and your righteousness stays sealed. That is it. That's the meat of the gospel. That is not preached is what happens in the established church. So I don't care that it's not preached regarding this meeting, and the truth, it doesn't change the truth. The truth is that you can't sin before God. So I've told you that, and I've told you it from loads of different places, from the book of Romans, from Galatians, from Colossians. But I want to talk today about Satan's counterattack to that argument, because Jesus said that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So the Word of God contains truths about many things. I've told you the most important truths for Christians are your gospel truths. What happened to you when you believed Christ died for your sins, what was your inheritance in Christ. You got made righteous, you got your sins forgiven, you got sanctified, you got received the Holy Spirit. They're all pieces of truth. And Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So those things are just true. And if Satan wasn't in the world, they're just true. And that's it. But Satan is in the world, and he lies to you about you, he lies to you about God, and he tries to bind you up in falsehoods about you, saying you're not very good, God doesn't like you, stuff like that. So Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It's you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free from Satan's work in the world, whereby he tries to lie to you about God, he tries to lie to you about you, he tries to lie to you about your righteous standing before God. The truth sets you free from those lies. It's only the truth sets you free. No method sets you free. It's only the truth, because the truth is the antidote to the lie. So this truth that I said, the primary attack on it is a certain way. The primary way Satan attacks this truth is basically he says that this truth is something that it's not. And then he attacks the thing that it's not, which is called a straw man argument. Somebody builds a straw man, says that the straw man's a certain thing, and then attacks the straw man, brings the straw man down. But the straw man wasn't the original thing. But the whole show is done to say to somebody, so for example, the doctrine that I've told you is like a lion, and Satan, instead of attacking the lion, like a lion can look after itself. So Satan's last resort is to attack what I'm saying with the word of God. Because like the truth is like a lion, it's got its own teeth, it can look after itself. If it's poked, it just bites back. So it doesn't matter how much the truth's examined, it doesn't get found out to be a liar. So the truth's really extremely tough and hard. It can't be beaten, it can't be brought down. Satan doesn't take the truth on. like straight, because it can't be beat. So, you know, his last resort is to argue against the word of God with a twisted word of God. But it's just not his first resort, because there's only like a small percentage of Christians that will actually measure what they've heard against the word of God. Satan's primary attack on this doctrine is to wipe out like 90% of the people listening with a certain argument. And those 90%, they don't go to the word of God to measure stuff up. It's the thing that tickles their ears. So what Satan does, Satan calls this doctrine, right, this doctrine's a lion. Satan says it's a pig. And then he tries to bring down the pig, which is a sneaky thing, because pigs, basically the lion, you know, in the analogy is like a good animal. The pig's a dirty animal. So Satan calls this doctrine a pig. And then all his fancy argument, is all his big fancy show at the front, is how a pig's dirty. And like, well, of course a pig's dirty. His lie and his sleight of hand is at the start associating this doctrine with a pig. So I want to tell you how he does it. So what I've heard like the most when I've said this doctrine is Satan labels it as antinomian. Like antinomian, like means against the law. So, like it literally means against the law. And in the past in the church, different heresies have been given different sort of phrase names. So if there's a heresy come up in the past, it's a heresy that's labeled Gnosticism, which is the heresy that, you know, that anything spiritual is good and anything that's like it's material is bad. You know, that's just a heresy that's come up, and you people have, yeah, people like Paul have argued against it, saying no, the, you know, within spiritual stuff there's Satan and there's God, so spiritual stuff isn't good and material stuff's bad. So they've, you know, they've used the word of God to defeat it. You know, in the historical past, there's a heresy of a particular type which people labelled at that time antinomian. Okay, so this is the heresy that came up. If there's a piece of word that God that says, the law is not a faith, and it's a good piece of word of God, I've said it, because I've told you all the gospel, and then I've said, like for a Christian, like the law is not a faith. Like I've explained that when you died with Christ, you died to your sin, which is how your sinful flesh is put off, but you also died to the law, and God doesn't expect you to keep the law. And that's why Paul says to Christians, the law is not a faith. Now, this particular false doctrine in the past has said, the law is not a faith, and if anybody keeps the law in any way, then that's a bad thing, because the law is not a faith. And so basically, I've already talked about this false doctrine. They've taken it too far. So the law is not a faith, and a Christian is not under the law. Okay? So a Christian is freed from the law. A Christian does not need the law for their righteousness or for their holiness or to get closer to God. But Paul doesn't say the law is evil. Paul says the law is good, but it's you. Like, you can't keep the law. So it's not the law's fault. The law is a good thing. He says, but a Christian is not under the law. And that's it. But Paul also says that the Holy Spirit bears his fruit in you. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, is peace, joy, love, patience, kindness, goodness. And one of the fruits of the Spirit is goodness. And goodness is a keeping of what the law defines as good. So one of the fruits that the Holy Spirit bears in you is a fruit of goodness, which is a keeping of the law. So the law says love your neighbour. Now you're not under the law. You don't have to try to like to love your neighbour. But the Holy Spirit can bear the fruit of loving your neighbour in you, and it's fine for you to walk according to that fruit that he bears. Okay, but in doing that, you keep the law, but you didn't try to keep the law, it just kept in you. Okay, but the antinomian doctrine says, no, you shouldn't do anything good. You shouldn't keep the law at all, and if you do, that's not a faith. Which is absolutely ridiculous, right? But that is the original antinomian teaching. That false teaching was that a Christian should not keep the law in any way. So Christians should not do anything good. Which I know it sounds ridiculous, but that's the teaching, okay? Because that teaching was against the law, it got branded antinomian, which is like Greek for against the law. Okay, so it got branded against the law. Now, when I've taught this doctrine, which is nowhere near this false doctrine, instead of people, the majority of people, instead of them measuring against the word of God for themselves, they've said, I'm going to ask my pastor because my pastor will know. So they've gone to their pastor, and the pastor's seen this doctrine is different than what they preach, and then they've had a look at when they went to a Bible college, was there anything mentioned about this? And they go, oh yeah, sounds a bit like antinomian teaching, because I've said a Christian's not under the law. And they've heard some teaching of a heresy that was against the law. So they said, sounds a bit antinomian to me. So they branded this doctrine antinomian, and it's not. It's literally not. It's like, I'm not, what I've preached to you is not against the law, because I've said to you the law's good, but you're not under it. I'm against the false application of the law to a Christian. I'm not against the law. Paul said the law's good, it's meant to bring you to Christ. It's meant to show you that you are sinful, that you need a saviour. But Paul said the law is a schoolmaster to bring you to Christ. Once it's brought you to Christ, you don't need it anymore. So the law is good. Paul said the law is good. But Christians died to the law. Christians aren't under the law. So I am not against the law. I am against the false application of the law to a Christian. Okay? So I am not. So this doctrine is not antinomian in what it literally means. Like in what antinomian literally means. And what antinomian historically means is that a Christian... Which is the false doctrine that a Christian shouldn't do anything good. I have made it quite clear in when I have taught in the last few weeks. I said a Christian is free to leave the law behind. You are free to leave the law behind, and you are also free to walk according to the fruit that the Holy Spirit bears in you. And if that fruit is goodness, then that fruit is goodness. But the keeping of the law is not bad. So this doctrine is not literally antinomian, and historically what antinomians meant, it's not antinomian, but Satan doesn't care about that, because what he cares, what he knows is if he can put a false label on something, so he'll go, I see that doctrine over there, see that line's a pig, this doctrine's antinomian, he'll call it a pig, because antinomian doctrine is a pig, it's a dirty doctrine, he'll call this doctrine antinomian, and then he'll say how antinomian's bad because the law comes from God. So that's his sleight of hand. So that's what he does. His first point of attack is to brand this doctrine with a false label and to try to bring it down and try to bring the doctrine down like that. He'll say, this is a pig, and everybody, look how the pig's bad. But he's just, it's a sleight of hands at the start. He's called a lion a pig. He said, this is antinomian, and it's not. So, you know, I've explained, I wanted to tell you, that's his first point of attack. Because with that, he can take out 90% of the people. Because 90% of the people won't, 90% of Christians, they won't read the word of God and measure it up. They'll say, I'm going to ask my pastor. And then the pastor will go, sounds antinomian to me. And they go, oh, well, he obviously knows what he's talking about, antinomian. And then they'll do a search, what's antinomian means against the law, yeah, that's bad. So they'll look up how a pig's dirty. But they won't see if this is really a pig. And it's not really a pig. it's a lion. And but I thought the verse that I'm going to read out was the verse that said, that Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. Because I just thought of John 8:44, but this is John 8:44. Jesus was speaking to some Pharisees, and he said, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. So basically, the only piece of scripture that, you know, we definitely wanted to say today was how Satan is a liar, and he doesn't choose to lie. That's his nature. He just lies. He's the father of lies. When he speaks his own language, when he walks his own way, he lies. He just, all his steps are lies. So he just lies, and he lies as much as he can to create as much carnage as he can. And his first point, you know, his first lie is the lie to take out 90%, which is not an intelligent lie. It's just a sleight of hand lie. So, you know, you've already accepted this doctrine, but I wanted to tell you the primary doctrine, you know, amongst the established church about how this doctrine is wrong. It's branded, it's antinomian, and that's been dealt with in the past. But it's not. And when it's measured up against the word of God, it stands. It's a lion. It's like it's got teeth of its own. When it's poked in the eye, it bites back. So, like, I've only said this doctrine from the word of God, and said a while ago that I was going to read right through Romans and say it word for word, phrase for phrase, and you'd see it all line up. And it says one thing all the way through the heart of Romans, which is a Christian is righteous by faith. That faith, that righteousness stays, and a person is meant to go up to God and reckon themselves dead to sin but alive to God. Like, present themselves as an instrument of righteousness by saying, I go up to God and saying, I am righteous. And are not meant to put themselves on the law and keep sin under control. I try to keep sin under control with the flesh. And then Paul says, the body of sin is destroyed. You've put off the body of the sins of the flesh. Paul says that the body of death's been destroyed. And Paul says you can't please God with your flesh. And Paul says, if he puts himself on the law, he finds a rule. He says, you know, the evil always pops out of him. And he says, if I do the things I do not want to do, it's no longer I that do, but sin in me. So all through Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8 is this doctrine. The whole point of Paul sending the book of Romans was to do his main doctrine, which was the middle of Romans. This is the middle of Romans, the whole thing. It's only about this one thing. It's only about the meat of the gospel. The righteousness stays, your righteousness remains sealed. You're justified, there's no condemnation. Established church takes a few verses from it. Ah, there's no condemnation. That means that you don't need to feel bad before God. It says there's no condemnation means there's no guilty judgment. You are never at any point guilty of anything before God. That's what no condemnation means. It means there is no guilty judgment by God for you. Well, how can that be if you go around sinning? The argument is, oh, you're positionally righteousness. You're positionally righteous, but it doesn't say anything about positional righteousness. You either are righteous or you're not. And you are righteous and you stay righteous. And that is how there is no condemnation on you by God. You stay righteous before God. Right, yeah, and that's it.